The title of this sermon today is called Becoming a Person of Your Word. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Matthew chapter 5 with me. We're back in the Sermon on the Mount. Now, some of you, I'm just going to say right up front, some of you have heard this message before, or at least a rendition of this message. This will be the third time that I've taught on this subject since we started the church. And now this time, the reason why I'm teaching it on this time is because it actually comes up in the text. We're going verse by verse through the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Jesus' most famous sermon, most famous teachings, and it comes up in the text right now. And so you're going to be hearing some of this stuff again, but for some of you, it'll be the very first time. In my first year of college at UL Lafayette, I was involved in a collegiate ministry, a college group, kind of like a fraternity. It's just a student club, but it was called the Baptist Collegiate Ministry. And it's just college students getting together and doing Bible studies and worshiping together. And my freshman year, one of the student leaders, Melinda, she asked me if I would lead the devotional, a little Bible talk, on Wednesday morning, at the Wednesday morning prayer meeting, which was at 6:30 in the morning. And it was a great opportunity for me. I was like, sure, I'd love to share. I'd love to share the word with my fellow students the following Wednesday morning at 6:30 a.m. Well, the following Wednesday morning rolled around, and I didn't show up at 6:30. And I didn't show up at 7, and I didn't show up at 7:30. I strolled into the BCM because I parked there as well and just walked through the BCM to go to my classes. I showed up, strolled into the BCM about 7:50, giving myself about 10 minutes to walk to class. Melinda was right there in the doorway, ready to greet me, and she said, Andy, how you doing? Doing great, how are you? And I think she was hoping that at that point it would just dawn on me, you know, that I had forgotten something important, but I was doing great, how are you? She said, I'm fine. Did you forget something? And I'm still thinking, got everything in my book sack here. And then finally it hits me. Oh, no. The Wednesday morning prayer breakfast, prayer devotional, I forgot. Totally forgot. And I apologized to her. I felt horrible. And Melinda never asked me to do the Wednesday morning prayer devotional again, as you can imagine. But in that relationship and in that instance, I proved to be unfaithful. That's unfaithfulness. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. And that's what Jesus is talking about in the text today. Faithfulness means to follow through on your word. It means to keep your word. When you say yes, you mean yes. When you say no, you mean no. When you say you will show up, you do. When you say you will do something, you do it. When you make a commitment or accept a responsibility, you follow through. To be faithful is to be reliable, to be dependable, to be trustworthy. It's been said that the greatest ability is dependability, is reliability. Now, there's two sports that I'm particularly fond of. I like sports. I've always been an athlete. Great in my own mind. But I've always been fond of basketball and tennis. Basketball, I played at Youngsville Middle School. And then I played at Como High School all 4 years. And one of the things that you learn in basketball very quickly, if you want to be a great shooter, is that it's not enough to merely, let me get this wire out of the way so I don't trip. It's not enough to merely just toss the ball at the basket. If you want to shoot with accuracy and with distance, from a great distance and with consistency, in basketball, it's not enough to just toss the ball at the goal. Look at the shadow. It's pretty cool. Let's see if you can see the spin on the ball. No. It's not enough to just toss the ball at the basket, just throw it up there. You've got to learn how to follow through. That's called follow through. See that funny motion? My elbow is snapping with my wrist, and I'm holding it out there for just a moment after I shoot, after I release the ball. That's called follow through. So in basketball, are you impressed? In basketball, no, you're not. In basketball, if you want to score, it's not enough to just toss the ball up there. You've got to follow through, all right? Now, I learned something similar in tennis. Now, I didn't start playing tennis till I was in college. There was a group of friends that were playing tennis regularly, and there was a cute girl out there playing tennis named Lydia. And I said, I'm going to learn tennis. I really want to learn tennis. And so I was out there two or three times a week with them. Didn't know a thing about tennis, and at first I was just using my athletic ability, which is not too much, but just using, you know, running my heart out to try to get to the ball, and I get to the ball, and I just kind of tap it, and had no accuracy, no strength, and I couldn't hit it hard because I had no skill, so I just tap it up real high, and I was pretty good at getting it to drop on the other side of the net, not in anywhere I wanted to, just kind of in bounds. Well, a friend of mine who played with us, he gave me this little book on tennis. And it's kind of his way of saying, you're horrible. You stink. Learn something. And one of the things I learned in the very first few pages is that if you want to be able to hit with power and with consistency, it's not enough to just tap the ball. But you've got to learn to follow through. So if you're hitting with a forehand, backhand, we'll have to get Mickey. Mickey's sister's a tennis pro. Mickey can come show you. So, but as far as a forehand, you have to learn how to follow through. So you hit the ball, and you come up here right above your opposite shoulder. And when I started doing that, I felt like Andre Agassi. I mean, I was just, wow. Just hit with so much consistency and accuracy and power. In tennis, if you want to score, it's not enough to just tap the ball. You got to follow through. Now, in relationships, it's not enough to just say that you're going to do something. I mean, that's nice. It sounds nice. It seems awfully considerate. Yeah, sure, I'll be there. I'll do it. I'll show up. I'll help out. It's not enough to just say that you're going to do something. In relationships, if you want to win, you got to follow through. You got to follow through on your word. Now, I'm learning that one of the ways that God speaks to me and gets my attention, and I shared this with home group this week, but one of the ways that God gets my attention about an area of my life that's a blind spot, an area that he wants to grow me, it's through the hurts of others. It's through the ways that others hurt me. Now, don't look at me like you've never hurt anybody. And don't look at me like you've never been hurt by anybody. Well, we all get hurt by each other because we're hurtful people. We're sinners, and so we hurt each other in relationships. And so that's how God gets my attention about my own faults, is through the faults of others and the way that they feel toward me. And this is the way that God got my attention with faithfulness. I hadn't really learned the importance or been clear about faithfulness and unfaithfulness until we started Church Acadiana. When we started Church Acadiana about 7 years ago, suddenly I was a leader of an organization. Suddenly, I needed the help of other people. Suddenly, I couldn't do this thing that God was calling me to do on my own. I actually needed to recruit and invite others to come be a part of this work of God. And one of the things that I found out as I did that was that I would ask people, hey, would you like to help out? Would you show up at such and such a time? And people were so willing to help out. It was amazing. Nobody would say no. It was, listen, would you climb to Mount Everest with me to start Church Acadiana? Sure, I'll be there. Would you show up at midnight to set up equipment? Sure, be there. But what I found out very quickly was that very rarely did people follow through on their word. And so time and time again, I would show up depending upon somebody to help me, and they wouldn't be there. But they said they'd be there, but they weren't. Where are you? Or they'd show up an hour later. And so that began to really hurt. I was really let down. I was really disappointed. I was really, man, this hurts. This is annoying. This is frustrating. And suddenly the Lord convicted me, opened my eyes, and said, Andy, that's called unfaithfulness. This is faithfulness, Andy. This is why this is important. And Andy, now that you see what it is, and now that you see what it feels like to be on the opposite end of unfaithfulness, now let me show you all the times that you've been unfaithful. And let me show you how often you say that you're going to do something, but you don't really mean it, or you don't actually follow through. And so the Lord really began to grow me for a long time before finally I was able to come to the church and say, hey, let me teach you guys about faithfulness. Faithfulness is hard to understand. It's hard to understand its importance and its necessity unless you've been a leader, unless you've been a manager, unless you've been an owner of a company. You know what management is? Management is trying to get things done through other people. And if you've ever tried to do that in a volunteer organization or at church or at work, oh my goodness, anybody ever done that? You're trying to get things done through other people. you're dependent upon other people doing what they say they're going to do, right? Oh, it's very, very frustrating. And so I see unfaithfulness occur every single day at FedEx. I mean, I see it with drivers. I see it with office personnel. I see it with package handlers. It's a major problem in our society. Faithfulness is what I call a forgotten virtue. Most people don't even know what it is. For many people, the very first time they hear about faithfulness was at Church Acadiana. Oh, wow. I've talked to people who've been Christians for 30, 40 years. Never heard a sermon, never heard anybody give a talk on faithfulness until they came to Church Acadiana. They felt very convicted. They felt like I was picking on them. Listen, I promise I'm not teaching this morning to get back at you. It comes up in the text. This is where we are in the Sermon on the Mount. Now, back in the 1800s, a person could make big business transactions without a contract, without a lawyer being present, without a notary public, just by his word or with a handshake. A person could make a big business deal because back then, a man's word was his bond. A man's word, just saying, I'll do it, I'll be there, I'll show up, I'll help out, I'll pay this amount of money. His word was his bond. His word was binding. Back then, if you got labeled as a person who didn't have a trustworthy word, if you got labeled as an unfaithful back then, you lost everything. You lost your reputation. Nobody would do business with you. Nobody would hire you. No father would allow you to marry his daughter. They wouldn't allow you to open a bank account. Nobody would want to work for you. Your word was so important back then. But in our society, faithfulness is lost. People say they're going to show up, but they're late, or they don't show up at all. They say they'll do something, but they don't. Husbands tell their wives that they're going to be home for dinner at such and such a time, but they don't show up. Teenagers say, Mom and Dad, I'm going to be home at 10 o'clock, but then they don't show up at 10 o'clock. Fathers tell their kids they'll take them camping, but they don't. People tell the bank they'll pay them back, but they don't. People RSVP, but don't show up. Parents allow their kids to sign up for athletic teams. And it's understood my kid is going to play on this team for the duration of the season, but then in the middle of the season, the child decides, I don't like the coach or I don't like basketball. So Mom and Dad say, okay, you don't have to go to anymore. Just allow their kids to drop off the team mid-season. That's unfaithfulness. And unfaithfulness is all around us, and it's in the church. And unfortunately, it's just because, in many cases, it hasn't been taught. So we're going to teach it this morning. The reason why we struggle with faithfulness is the same reason they struggled with unfaithfulness in the first century. And that's why Jesus addressed it in the Sermon on the Mount. Now, these are some confusing words unless you understand the context. Verse 33 in Matthew chapter 5. Verse 33 in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, "You have also heard that our ancestors were told, 'You must not break your vows. You must carry out the vows you make to the Lord.' But I say, do not make any vows. Do not say by heaven, because heaven is God's throne. And do not say by the earth, because the earth is his footstool. And do not say by Jerusalem, for Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Do not even say by my head, for you can't turn one hair white or black. Just say a simple yes, I will, or no, I won't. Anything beyond this is from the evil one." So there was a lack of faithfulness back then. Just because a person said that they were going to do something didn't necessarily mean that they were going to follow through on their word. A person could only be trusted back then if they swore or made a promise with the words, by God. If they say, I promise to God, well, then that was considered absolutely binding. Therefore, in order to avoid being bound by their word, back then they started to find ways to promise without saying the words by God. And so they would say, by heaven, or by earth, or by Jerusalem, or by my head, or by the temple, so that they were safe if they broke their promise or if they broke their word. Actually, the Jews divided promises or oaths or vows into two classes. There were those which were absolutely binding, and then those which were not. Can you imagine that they created a culture where there was promises that weren't binding? Doesn't make sense, does it? But again, any oath which contained the name of God, I promise to God, or I promise by the name of God, that was considered a very serious sin if you broke your word. And so Jews really didn't want to sin. And so they created ways to avoid promising in God's name. And so these were non-binding promises. I promise by Jerusalem, I promise by heaven, I promise by my head, I promise by the temple. And therefore, if they broke their promise, it wasn't a great sin. And because of all these binding oaths and non-binding oaths, and because they were able to promise without it being a sin, there arose this culture in Jesus' day where a man's word, a woman's word, did not mean much, wasn't worth very much, was not very binding, was not very trustworthy. A person could say one thing, but you couldn't really tell what they meant or whether or not they were going to follow through, because unless they say by God or use God's name, only then could you know that they were serious and that they were going to follow through. And I find that it's very similar in our culture today. Just because somebody says something doesn't mean they're going to do it. It just means that they intend to do it. These days, if somebody says, I'll be there, I'll show up, I'll help out, I'll meet you at such and such a time, all that really means is, I intend to. But if something more fun comes up, or if somebody who's more important to me asks me to do something at that same time, you got to understand, I'm going to drop you and go with them. Or if I just don't feel like it come that moment, you don't really count on me. All it really means is I intend to follow through on my word. Now, in our day, if somebody says, though, if they say, I promise I'll be there when I hold up, that means a little bit more, doesn't it? Dad, can you take us swimming today? As soon as I get off work, do you promise? I promise. And that's pretty serious. But still, there's a possibility that Dad may not follow through on his word. But if Dad says, I promise on Grandma's grave, whatever that means, I don't know what that means, I promise on my grandmother's grave, then suddenly the kids are like, oh, he's pretty serious. But then if Dad says, I promise to God, I'm going to take you swimming. Well, then you know, or if he says, I promise, listen, give me a Bible. I promise on the Bible. Now we know, right? That's serious. Listen, this is unbiblical. This is, a man's word doesn't mean anything anymore. A woman's word, you never know what she's going to follow through with. And so Jesus says, let's cut all that out. He says, don't make any more vows. In verse 37, he says, just say a simple, yes, I will, or no, I won't. Anything beyond this, it's from the evil one. Now, there are some who take Jesus' teaching a little bit more literally than others. There were the Essenes, which were an ancient Jewish sect, the Essenes. And the Essenes actually believed it was a sin to make a promise of any kind. They believed that making a promise is actually worse than a lie. They believed that your word is your bond. And if you have to promise, there's something seriously shady about you. So they said, no promises. I mean, and then there's the Quakers. The Quakers believed that they would not take an oath under any situation. Quakers refused to take an oath in the military. They refused to take an oath in court. They really take a stand against any kind of promises. But most Bible scholars believe, and I agree, that Jesus is not condemning all vows and promises. It's okay to make wedding vows. It's okay to swear under oath in the courtroom. What Jesus is really referring to is our everyday normal conversation. The fact that we say things all the time, but we really don't mean it. We're really not serious. That our word is not really respectable, reliable, dependable, and trustworthy. And so Jesus says, don't promise because your word is your bond. You should not have to add that little addendum, that little PS at the end of your statements. I'll be there. Promise. You shouldn't need to say, I promise. Just by saying, I will be there, I will do it, yes, I'll show up. That is your word. That is a promise. That in itself is binding. Jesus is saying that you should be the kind of person, you should have the kind of character that doesn't need a promise to be believed. Your word is trustworthy. Your word is faithful. It's reliable. So let me teach you how to develop faithfulness in your life. How to go from being a person who has just not known about this or who has not been serious about your word, how do you grow to be a faithful individual? And let me tell you, this is very, very serious if you're a Christian. Because our God is a faithful God, as we'll see in just a moment. And he wants you to reflect his character. And you are bearing the reputation of God on your life. So this is absolutely essential if you're a Christian. If you're not Christian, if you're not committed to Jesus, this is still very, very smart. If you want to have a more effective relationships and more effective, be more effective in business, have a more effective organization, faithfulness is essential. Number one, how to develop faithfulness. You can write this down. Avoid making promises. From here on out, listen, I don't promise. I don't make promises. I don't say those words. I don't say, I swear I'll be there. I don't say, I promise I'll be there. I promise. I don't use those words. I have erased those words from my vocabulary. And that's what Jesus says. He says, just say yes or no. Just say yes or no. Anything beyond this is from the evil one. He says, do not make any vows. A Bible scholar, Vernon McGee, he says, the Lord Jesus is saying that we are to be the kind of persons who don't have to take an oath. Warren Wiersbe, another Bible scholar, he wrote that Jesus taught that our conversation should be so honest and our character so true that we would not need crutches to get people to believe us. You know, that's what a promise is. It's a crutch. It's a way of manipulation. It's saying, since you don't believe my normal everyday conversation, maybe if I say, I promise, listen, I say, I promise, now you have to believe me. I know a way to get them to believe me. Give me a Bible. I promise on the Bible. See, got you to believe me. It's a way of manipulation. It's a crutch to make up for the fact that your word is not trustworthy. It's not dependable. It's not faithful. It's not reliable. But Jesus says, you're to be the kind of person that doesn't need to make vows or promises or oaths. People believe your word. Do you have to promise to get your wife to believe you? When you tell her something, does she say, you promise? And that's a problem. Do you have to say, I promise, to get your kids to believe what you say? Listen, if you say it, your kids should be able to take it to the bank. They should have no doubt. Dad said he's going to do it. He's going to do it. That's what Jesus is saying. We demonstrate God's faithfulness when we're reflecting his character. You know, that's what it means to glorify God, and that's the purpose of our lives, to glorify God. That means to display his nature, to show the world the greatness and goodness of God by the way that we live, to display the superiority of life lived in Christ. That means we're to show the world what God is like. The Bible says that God is faithful. Psalm 33:4 says, God is faithful in all his ways. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, he is faithful to do what he says. That's what we're trying to be. That's what we need to be. Number two, how to develop faithfulness? Be true to your word. Be true to your word. Make a commitment. Make a decision, a firm decision from this day forward that you're going to be true to your word, that if you say it, you're going to do whatever it takes to follow through. You're going to do whatever is necessary, no matter how inconvenient, no matter how uncomfortable, no matter how you feel in the moment. You said you're going to do it, so you're going to follow through because that's the way God is. And you're called to glorify God. Verse 37, just say a simple yes, I will, or no, I won't. That's the definition of faithfulness. Just keep your word. Follow through on your word. We need to call a spade a spade. What do you call it when somebody says that they're going to do something, but they don't do it? That's called lying. It's called lying. I prefer the word unfaithful because it's not as condemning. It's not quite as harsh. But when you say you're going to do something and you don't do it, it's called lying. It's called being dishonest. God calls us to be dishonest in our relationships. One of the reasons why this is important to me as well is because at Church Acadiana, we're trying to build a healthy, excellent organization for God, a healthy church that glorifies God. And we cannot build a church of excellence without building excellence into individuals. An excellent church, a healthy church, is built by a bunch of healthy, excellent individuals. And we cannot build a healthy church, an excellent church, if nobody can trust anybody's word. If everybody's running around saying one thing but then doing another. If we can't tell if somebody's going to do something or not because we can't trust their word. We've got to have a group of people, even if it starts with just 10 of us, who are committed to following through on our word. And then we can build on that. We can build a culture of faithfulness. Faithfulness makes the entire organization more effective because when you say that you're going to do something, when you say that you're going to show up, now that entire team or that entire organization is now depending on you. They're putting their faith in you. They're basing their plans on what you say that you're going to do. Now listen, when you don't follow through, plans fall through and everybody takes a hit. When you don't follow through, the plans of the organization fall through and everybody takes a hit simply because you didn't keep your word. Number three, third way to become more faithful is only break your word when absolutely necessary. You say, break your word? I thought you said you're not supposed to break your word. Well, listen, there are going to be times whenever breaking your word is absolutely out of your hands. Let's say that you tell your friend that you're going to meet him on Saturday morning at such and such a time to help him move across town, moving from one apartment to another. But then Saturday morning at that time, your wife goes into labor. Or you wake up that Saturday morning or go to bed that Friday night with the flu. Or you have to rush one of your kids to the hospital. Or you have a close loved one who dies. I don't want to sound morbid here, but you get the point. There are some instances, some situations where you can't avoid it. Life just gets out of hand at points. And you can't control what happens. But listen, when you break your word, you have to make sure that it's absolutely necessary and absolutely obvious to the person that you're letting down. It's obvious to them that you had to break your word. In other words, you call your friend up on Saturday morning and you say, hey, I can't make it. And your friend says, why not? You say, well, because of such and such. And you say, but you know what? I can still come if you really need me. The reason, the excuse for your unfaithfulness needs to be so obvious that your friend says, no, don't come. Please, no, don't even think about coming. You need to stick with your stuff. You need to deal with your stuff. That's way too urgent, too important, too much of an emergency. Please, you stay home, or please do what you need to do. Forget about helping me move. Please. It needs to be that obvious to your friend anytime that you break your word. Again, here's why. When you break your word, the other person puts their faith in you. Immediately, they are now depending on you. Your friend, who you told you would help him move on Saturday morning, all of his moving plans are now based on your word. He's dependent upon you. He purposefully did not call his other friends and line them up because he already lined you up and you said you'd be there. He's got pizza ready to come to be delivered at a certain time for you, and he's already bought donuts for you, and he's ready for you to be there. And so whenever you call him and you say, I can't be there, something came up, it doesn't even matter what your excuse is. Now, not only are you having a crisis, but he's having a crisis. Now, not only are you having a problem, but because you're not following through on your word, now he's having a crisis, he's having a problem too. He's having a bad day now too. All of his plans are falling through because you didn't follow through on your word. So this is why it's so important to only break your word when absolutely necessary. And by the way, that means no lame excuses like, well, I stayed up too late. Listen, that's just not going to fly in your relationships. Your relationships will crumble if your word is that weak. Lame excuses like, well, I got a headache. Now listen, if you got migraines, that's just understandable. But listen, we all get headaches, especially if it's not, well, I drank too much, so I got a headache this morning. It's just not going to fly. Here's another bad excuse, school. Well, I got to study. It's Saturday morning, you're supposed to show up to help your friend move, but you call and you say, listen, I got a big test on Monday, I just need to study. Listen, that's lame. In our society, we worship education. And so somehow, that has become the one acceptable excuse for like any unfaithfulness. Well, I got to study. I got school. I got a big test. I got big exams coming out. Listen, your exams are your issue, not your friends. They're your problem, not your friends. Don't push your problem onto your friends. You got to study. You got a big exam. That's your problem. You study before Saturday. You study after Saturday morning. Or you don't study at all and you make an F on your test. But you need to follow through on your word. That's what faithfulness is. It's following through even when it's inconvenient or hard on you. Now, you need to remember that faithfulness is also about being a more effective witness. You are called to be a witness for Jesus Christ in your relationships. And when you're faithful, it enhances your witness. Here's the thing. It's been said that one of the realities of life is that if you can't trust a person at all points, then you can't trust a person at any point. And so if you want your friends, your non-Christian friends, to be impacted by your faith in Jesus, if you want to have a chance at leading them to Christ, then you've got to earn their trust. And if you can earn their trust when it comes to non-spiritual matters by just showing up when you say you're going to show up and doing what you say you're going to do, you can earn their trust in non-spiritual matters, then they're more likely to believe you when it comes to spiritual things. But the opposite is also true. If you prove yourself to be unfaithful and unbelievable in your everyday normal conversation when it comes to non-spiritual things, like I'll be there, I'll show up, I'll do it, and then you don't follow through, why should they believe what you have to say when it comes to the essential, most important spiritual matters of life? Faithfulness is about being a witness as well. Number four, how to be faithful, be careful about your speech. Be careful about your speech, because now if we're going to make sure that we do what we say we're going to do, we better be careful about what we say we're going to do, right? We need to remember what we say we're going to do. Why? Because they're going to remember. You tell your friend, I'm going to help you move on Saturday. Guess what? You may forget, but he won't. He's going to remember, isn't he? All of his plans are arranged around your word. He's going to remember whether or not you do. Be very careful about your speech. Pay attention when you say yes. It's better to say no than to say yes and be unfaithful. And I'm telling you that just as a leader of an organization. Those of you who are in positions of management or leadership in an organization, you know that to be true. It's better to tell me no than to tell me yes and then be unfaithful. Because why? Because I can work with no, but I can't work with you being unfaithful to what you say you're going to do. It's better to say no. And by the way, this doesn't mean resorting to a life of maybe. A lot of people have proven to be so unfaithful that they've just stopped saying yes. And anytime you ask them to do something, to help out, to show up, to meet you anywhere, now the answer is maybe. Or how about this one? This is real spiritual. God willing. God willing, I'll be there. What does that mean? Is that a yes? What are you? Listen, you can't build relationships on maybe. What if you're standing at the altar with your bride-to-be? He says, do you take this woman to be your wife? For better, for worse. Maybe. God willing. That's not going to fly. You can't build a relationship on maybe. Or what if you ask a girl out to a date? She says, maybe. So does that mean we're going to go on a date? Does that mean I need to ask you again in a couple of days? What does that mean? Or let's suppose you ask a girl on a date and she says, sure. And you say, okay, I might pick you up. You can't build a relationship on maybe. Listen, you might think that you're being more careful about your word by saying maybe, but you're not. Maybe is the result of a lack of commitment. It's a result of lack of commitment. If you're standing at the altar and he says, do you take this woman to be your wife? And you say maybe, that's not you trying hard to make sure that you're not unfaithful. That's you not committed. Because you're going to say yes to her because you're committed to her. And the reason why so many times we say maybe is because we're unwilling to commit. You can't build relationships without commitment. You can't build an organization without commitment. You've got to be willing to commit. And listen, no is okay. No is okay. Maybe's not. So say yes or no, or say, I'll get back to you. I got to check my schedule. I'll get back to you. Say yes or no, and then you got to follow through on your word. By the way, what this means partly is that if you want to be a person of your word, some of you need to buy a planner. A planner. You got to start writing down your yeses. If you want to be faithful, you got to remember when you said yes, what you said you're going to do. One of the biggest reasons for unfaithfulness is simply irresponsibility. It's not that you mean to be unfaithful. It's that not that you mean to be dishonest. You're just irresponsible. You have no system of keeping a record of when you say, yes, I'll be there. Yes, I'll show up at such and such a time. Listen, when I'm talking to somebody, I'm going to say, hey, can you help me out next Saturday, 8 o'clock, be at my house? And they say, sure. And they don't write anything down. I don't see them putting anything in their phone or anything. That worries me because I'm depending upon your memory. So if you want to be faithful, you got to get organized. Some of you, you got to buy a planner. You know what? You say, well, I can't afford one of them smartphones. Listen, my planner is on paper. It's just, you know, they used to have these old daytimer planners. I still use that. A lot of people still do. You don't have to have a smartphone to be organized. Faithfulness is so important, by the way, to rise up the ladder at work, to rise up the ladder in an organization. Whenever you're faithful in the little things, when you say you're going to do something and you follow through, what you're doing is you're proving to your customers or to your boss, to your coworkers, that you're a person of your word. Faithfulness is an invitation to put more faith into you. When you're reliable, it's an invitation to rely on you for even more. When you're dependable, it's an invitation to your boss, your coworkers, your customers to depend on you for even more. But the opposite is true too. If you're unfaithful, unreliable, undependable, that's a big red flag to them, is don't ask me to do anything anymore. Don't ever rely on me again. Just like Melinda in college, she never asked me again to lead that prayer breakfast. Because when I proved unfaithful, I was raising a red flag. You can't trust me. I'm unfaithful. Here's number five. Number five, apologize quickly when you break your word. How to be faithful? Apologize quickly. I know of one organization, a church pastor that I really, really respect, and their organization, they're trying to build a culture of excellence, and a culture of faithfulness goes right in with that. And what they've taught their people, their staff, not their volunteers, but just the staff, is that if you're late or if you're unfaithful, if you were supposed to be in a meeting, supposed to be at a place at such and such a time, you apologize right away and you don't give any excuse, because no excuse is going to fly. You just, let's say you show up for a meeting 5 minutes late, 10 minutes late, you walk in, you say, sorry, y'all, sorry I'm late. And then everybody just goes forward. Because whenever you're late or whenever you're unfaithful, unreliable, undependable, it's a huge insult to everybody around you. Faithfulness enriches a relationship, but unfaithfulness endangers a relationship. And here's how. Faithfulness enriches a relationship because it communicates value. Whenever you tell somebody, I'll be there at such and such a time, and then you follow through, what you're just communicating to them is, you're important to me. You're important enough to me for me to remember when I told you I was going to do something to help you out, and I showed up and I did it for you. I didn't forget. You're important to me. So faithfulness enriches relationships, but unfaithfulness endangers relationships because it communicates dishonor, disvalue. I don't value you. You're not important enough for me to remember or to follow through on what I say I'm going to do. You're not that important. I was going to do it, but something else came up. My friends decided to go to a movie, so I decided, it was a really good movie, so I decided to go to the movie instead of follow through my word with you, because you're not that important to me. Faithfulness is so important to relationships. If people don't trust you, they won't confide in you. They won't respect you. They won't depend upon you or rely upon you. They won't ask you for favors. They won't ask you to do things with them. And they're going to ultimately look for another friend where there is trust in the relationship. So apologize quickly when you break your word, and make sure you let them know, listen, I'm sorry, that's not part of my character. I shouldn't have done that. That was an accident. I won't do it again. You can still trust me. That was a big mistake. Sorry I let you down. Sorry I was unfaithful. And that way you can uphold and protect those relationships that God has entrusted you with. And so this is what I want to do. I don't want you to ever be unfaithful again. And I don't want to ever be unfaithful again. But you know what? It's hard. It's hard. And so this is a growth issue. This is something that's going to take time for you to develop. And it's only going to develop if you have a strong relationship with Jesus. Jesus has got to be the one, not me. Jesus has got to be the one in your heart who's convicting you of the importance of faithfulness, saying, listen, I'm faithful and I want you to be faithful. And I love all the people in your life. And they're important. And so you need to value them and you need to be faithful to them. So you need to be close to Jesus, and he's going to help you grow in faithfulness. Wouldn't you love to be a part of a church with a bunch of faithful people? People where if they say they're going to do something, they do it. They show up. They're there. They're going to help out. That's the kind of organization I want to be a part of. And that's what we've been building at Church Acadiana. And that's what many of you are, is faithful people. And I appreciate it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do thank you for your word. And, And Lord, I pray that if there's any pushback this morning, if there's any offense this morning, if there's somebody in here who's saying, well, he's picking on me, or if somebody feels picked on, Lord, I pray that you would just disarm them and help them to lower those defenses so that you can speak to them and convict them and help them to grow in this area, because faithfulness is so important to our relationships. It's so important to us being able to glorify you and being effective witnesses in our community. So important to us being a healthy church. Lord, help us to grow in faithfulness. Help us to value the people in our lives, value them enough to be faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.